Reformed Church.
There is this thing that has been in my mind quite a bit about discouraging the builders, and my mind keeps going back to when the people of Israel are working, I believe it was with Nehemiah, to try to rebuild the walls around the temple, or I don't know if it's the walls around Jerusalem. I don't remember exactly that, but they're working together to be able to rebuild the wall, and they said that they would basically be like, you know, working with one hand and doing things with the other, and then even the women were doing stuff. Like, everybody was working together to get this wall built. And then there were people that were sent to them in order to discourage them, to speak to them things about how they were not going to be able to do it, that they're using, you know, materials that are old, you know, the wall is fallen, you know, what are you putting all this effort? And they just kept doing things and threatening them and doing things to discourage them. And, you know, when you look at what we're doing and our desire to be able to keep our minds on Jesus, you know, there are things that happen around you and people that you talk to that could distract your mind or bring your mind to thinking about just natural things, right? And sometimes you can kind of get caught up in that loop where you're in a conversation with somebody and they got you talking about these natural things, and it's not about talking about those things, right? It's about having our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that we know about ourselves, everything that we have learned that we have as part of our inheritance, who we are, what we possess, right? All of those things, we can see them in Christ, and therefore we understand what we possess and what we have. And I'll show you kind of scripturally kind of where I was coming from here. If we can go to Colossians chapter 2 real quick. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And it just touches a few things. I just want to read maybe from verse 1 to maybe 8-ish around there. Verse 1 says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, for them that are at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted." And the word "they're comforted," I think even a better translation there is "encouraged," right? And it actually, the Bible I have gives you that translation of that word also being encouraged, that their hearts might be comforted or encouraged, being knit together in love. And the fact that he's talking about there are hearts being encouraged, right? He's not talking about just us. He's talking about your mind, right? Your mind being encouraged. And when he speaks there about being knit together in love, he's not only talking about necessarily like our love for one another, which is an effect of our heart being encouraged. But what he's talking about more is us being knit together in the knowledge. In other words, being of the same mind and being of the same heart. In other words, our heart, you know, the way we reason things, the way you discern things, right? That they're all based on the discernment of the Spirit of God, right? Based on what Christ came to do, did, right? And what he has today. So where it says they're being knit together in love, and it says, "And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding." So there are riches that we know as part of our inheritance that are riches, right, that are a result of the full assurance of understanding. In other words, when you come to a full assurance of understanding in any area of your life as it relates to Jesus, right, we become then more and more active participants in the inheritance as it has to do with that area in our lives. So he's saying our hearts being encouraged, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, it says, to the acknowledgement of the mystery and of the Father and of Christ. The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So all of that, the knowledge that it's talking about to come to a full assurance is the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So obviously the mystery of knowing Christ and Christ in us, right? And if you know Jesus, then you know obviously the Father. It says, in whom, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any should beguile you. That word beguile there is deceive, right? Lest any man should beguile you, verse number 4, with enticing or persuasive words, right? And so our hearts being encouraged and not allowing anyone with with persuasive words, right? And it, obviously the persuasive words are not godly spiritual words. The persuasive words there are referring to natural thinking, things that are apart from Christ, but nonetheless could seem like persuasive arguments or things that makes you, something that makes you think twice about something when somebody mentions something to you. Kind of gets you thinking about something and how you could contradict that or speak to that, but it is apart, right? Your mind is wandering apart from just looking at Jesus, right? Which is obviously where we, all of us, need our minds to be. And then he says in verse number 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So he's encouraging the Colossians, right? Or the people at Colossae, I believe it said, is the name of the city, where he's saying that he's remembering and rejoicing in the steadfastness, the continuance of their faith in Jesus Christ, right? So he's telling them, like that's where your mind needs to be. Your mind needs to be on Jesus. You need to continue to grow in the knowledge of what we have in the Lord to be able to become partakers of the rich inheritance that you have on the inside of you. And then he says in verse number 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So just another encouragement. So he encourages them to say, you know what, just it's so good to see the steadfastness of your faith and how you've continued in your growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And then he says that just as you receive the Lord, right, which obviously we receive the Lord by faith in him and in his finished work, that we would just continue to walk in that, just keep walking in that way. So continue in the steadfastness of your faith so that you can just continue just to walk in everything that the Lord has prepared within his inheritance for you to walk in those things, right? And then he says in verse number 7, rooted and built up in him. You see kind of the, you know, when you can see kind of the thread in all of those verses from verse number 1, where he's just encouraging them, saying, yeah, you know, you're doing the right thing. Your mind's been in the right place. Don't let anybody come in and say things to you or speak things to you that would just move your heart away from Jesus, right? Move your mind away from me, right? And he says in 7, rooted and built up in him, you know, and that's just good. Like I was making a note in my notebook, and I just wrote in him in big capital letters, right? Rooted and built up in him, right? We're not wanting somebody to, not speak certain things to us because our mind has been, you know, deceived by some weird doctrine, and we want to keep everyone away so that they don't speak to us about other things that are not our weird doctrine, right? The doctrine that we teach at Reformed Church and the doctrine that we have received from the Lord is just the teaching of everything that Christ has done for us. So everything is based on him, what he has and who he is. And that's undeniable regardless of, you know, what sect you come from, what religion you are of, as far as, you know, within the Christian church, what denomination, that's the word I was looking for, what denomination you're in, right? Who Christ is and what he has and the glory that he sits in at the right hand of the Father is probably agreed to by most people. The place where Paul is encouraging them, and the place where we have always looked to encourage, you know, the people of this church and people that listen online, is that it would all be about faith in him. That it's not faith in anything else. That the things that we possess are not hidden from us, a mystery that we don't know. But the Lord encourages us constantly to behold the Lord, to behold the Lord as in a mirror. And here he says, you know what, that you would be rooted, verse number 7, and built up in him, establishing the faith which is what? In Jesus, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, that our heart would remain fixed on what he's done, to the point where we just continue to rejoice all the time because we were reminded over and over again of everything that he's done and everything that he's finalized for us. Verse number 8, it says, beware. Just, it's awesome because he commends them and then he warns them and then he commends them and then he warns them again. Same exact thing, though, that you've been hearing, right? Verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you or cheat you through philosophy and vain deceit or empty deceit, right? Words that are empty, words that are not, that have no substance in Jesus, right? It says, by vain deceit, after the tradition of men, right? Things that are according to men and not according to Christ, right? according to men and not according to Christ, right? The world fights to, I say fights, but everything that it speaks according to the traditions of men or according to the things that are natural, right, and human. But he says that beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. In other words, after the things that are just basic principles of humanity. But he says, and not after Christ. Not after Christ. So he tells them once again, right, that just beware that no one moves your mind away from the doctrine that you have taught that is according to Christ. Right, that if anybody says something to you or speaks something to you or gets you into a conversation to try to, which moves your heart away, that you could help them so much. And that's kind of what some of the conversation that we were having was around, is encouraging people in just that, in that which is according to Christ. There are a lot of things that we don't understand about, you know, the traditions of men, about things that, you know, I don't know, things maybe that we have not learned yet about things that will happen or things that are in the past and why they occurred the way they did. But the one thing that we can always be sure is who Christ is, what he's done, what he possesses today, and how we possess and have and are as he is today in this world, right? There are certain things that are in Christ that are just staple, foundational things of who we are and what we have, that right, nobody needs to take our mind away from that. And obviously, and we would our help to bring their hearts there too. And you know what, and I will stop there, but I'll read verse number 8 to you again because I thought it was really good. It says, beware lest any man spoil you or cheat you, instead of encouraging your mind, right, bringing your heart to where it not shouldn't be, right, where it ought not to be. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain or empty deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And you know, it's a cool thing. I was talking to somebody else the other day as well around, you know, how good it is to be able to, actually it was Sunday after service, how good it is to be able to be part of like natural things throughout your day, you know, like work and you're shopping or you're doing this or that, you know, just natural stuff that people do. And yet yourself know that you don't have to stress yourself about the method by which things are done, like the method by which things succeed, right? But that the Lord said, you know what, that you meditate on the things that I have told you day and night. And he said, you know what, you'll find good success, right? That even in natural tasks that we do, that we can depend on the Spirit of God, right, to be able to bring to our mind and to our remembrance the things that he has said to help us know the rest that we've been given in the flesh. And you know what? You could be going into a meeting. You could have, you know, things that have to be done. You could have deadlines that you're working towards. And the Lord could give you a rest so that you could know, you know what, Lord, I'm not depending on my intellect. I'm not depending on my education. I'm not depending on natural things, Lord, but you have given me a rest. Therefore, I rely and lean on the mind of Christ, on the Spirit of God within me, on the desires that the Lord will give you. Even in the middle of an ongoing meeting on a task that you have to do, you'll get a desire to do it like this, to do it like that, to try to say this, to look for that opportunity, right? And so that even in natural, mundane tasks that people do in their jobs every single day, for us, they could be just one other opportunity for our minds to be where our minds need to be, and yet fully reliant on the Spirit of God more and more and more. I know that there is a temptation, I'll say, to be able to rely on the things that you've been used to, that you have tried before in your life, that you have proven to work in the way that you do them. But it's an awesome thing if you allow the Lord to give you allow the opportunity of the Spirit of God for him to be able to give you the desire to want to do something perfectly, and then the power with which to do it. And see if, you know, as you get used to trying that way, trying, you know, proving the Lord's way of doing and the Lord's way of functioning, how things come out so drastically different, right? How you see things just being worked out for your good and not you trying to work it out for your own good, right? But the Lord doing that, even in natural tasks, right? So much more even when we're speaking to people, when we're just by ourselves, when we're around people like us, right? People of like precious faith, or if you're around someone that you're trying to help or encourage, that the Lord, that you say, you know what, Lord, I want you to keep my heart, my mind right where it needs to be, not that any conversation or anything would bring my mind away, and then be able to say what needs to be said, right? That was another point that was good within the conversation that we were having, being able to say the things that need to be said, not the things that people expect you to say, but to say the things that need to be said. The same way the Lord Jesus, when he responded not with what, even sometimes with what people were asking, but what was needful to be shared and what was needful to be said.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.